Hold on, I have to swallow. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. See, this is how you guessed.
Man.
This is how you guessed.
Coming in with the hot Southern made.
Hot Southern made donuts.
What a win.
I didn't have any, of course.
No way.
I didn't have one, of course.
No, yeah. There you go.
I didn't have one.
Yeah. We walked in the door.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters in studio. By the way, Jeff Luce in for Aaron on this New Year's Eve. Guys, first of all, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Our
good
mics to be here.
No, that's just yours. Just not
Ruben, right, Ruben takes care of it for you.
Okay, I saw the red light and I thought that was stop. You're not talking.
So tell us what's going on. What do you have planned? We were talking, you posted a picture on the corner. It's a Western Auto.
Yep.
On the corner of
Texas and Market.
Yep. Texas and Market.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of history in that building. A lot of history.
Yeah. Well, yes. Used to be,
yeah.
Yeah, gone
the building's
now.
Gone. Building's gone. Isn't that heartbreaking?
Yeah. We hate to see it.
Of course, the people that own Drip Donuts are like, yeah, it was real heartbreaking.
Yeah.
They had to move out.
Yep. Unfortunately.
When I first saw it, I thought that was what is now the Blind Tiger.
That's what everybody
a lot of people think.
Because it had that corner entrance.
Sure. Yeah, kind of similar.
Yeah. But I worked at the Blind Tiger building back when it was Chelsea's.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And we used to, the guy at the owner, I was friends with the owner and the manager, and we went upstairs. And I don't know if it's still that way, because at one time they were talking about doing a residence up there, mm-hmm. but there were like cages where they used to do cockfights.
Really?
Upstairs.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just all open.
Wow.
And they had these wooden cages up there. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. It was crazy.
It was Dreyfus or something?
No, it wasn't that far. It was probably in the 20s, 30s, 40s.
Probably, something
like that. Buckaloo.
Now, Buckaloo, I remember at one time, even when it was still Chelsea's, on the sidewalk, parallel to the bridge, on that wall,
yes.
that door on the side,
yeah.
there was a
mosaic
in tile,
yes.
a mosaic in tile, Buckaloo.
Yes.
Really?
With tile. Oh, Buckaloo's was spelled out in
white
tile. And I remember that. Yeah, white and black.
With black lettering. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's,
yes.
Yeah. Wow. But before it was Chelsea's, wasn't it TGI Fridays?
Yep.
TGI Fridays before it?
Yes.
Yeah. And then you move back from there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we made an AI video a few months ago with Shreve Square, and we added some pictures of that.
In
the end of it, we had a car wreck into the side of the building. And when we take our tour, we'll ask people, y'all see the video? Do y'all know why we did that? Because that place has been hit by cars since the 20s.
Right.
Yeah. We come across all kind of pictures from 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. There's always a wreck there.
Always
hitting the building.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I think they put bollards in.
They have recently. Finally. Thank goodness, yes.
Yeah. It's got tired of replacing. Facing the front door.
Yeah.
Even our building on Market Street, you know, it's been hit twice since we've been in it.
Oh, really?
And it's like...
People go through there fast, and they try to run that light, and somebody's not paying attention, and they pull out.
I was coming up Market, and I was in my 1973 Ford Pinto.
Oh, wow.
And probably going a little faster than I should have been.
In a Pinto?
You can do the speed limit?
How is that possible?
I had to stop and get a bottle of transmission fluid every morning and put in there and put it in gear. Okay, now I'm going. But obviously in the 70s and before the convention center was there, but I was coming up through that intersection and it was, like I say, it was misting, not raining, but the streets were wet. And I said, and the light turned yellow at the next intersection, right? And I thought, oh, let me stop. I slid through that intersection in front of the old Ford dealership building, doing 360s.
Oh, wow.
Fortunately, everybody else did stop.
Right.
Yeah. So I was the only car, and I was spinning in that Pinto and ended up facing the right direction like
you intended it.
That's
what I do.
Kept going. So I almost went into the building myself.
Oh, great.
Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So awesome. what do we have going on for 2026?
What do we got? Tell them. We're working on podcasts. We got a podcast room set up, and we're working on getting that out. We've got thinking about doing a couple more walking tours once, you know, not long days like today where it's too cold.
And we're working on getting a like a loft downtown somewhere. We hadn't worked it all out, but we know the location and all that, and that way we'll be able to put our memorabilia in. People have a place to go to see our stuff and all that. So
really,
because everybody's asking us, you know, where can we come see your memorabilia? Working in this and that. You know?
We're working on it. It's not a done deal, but we're working on
it. It's in the initial stages, so we're excited.
You're talking
about
to 50 Cent? Is that what you
No.
he owns all the buildings downtown now.
Yeah.
All the buildings. That's the first time I met you guys was the art walk.
The art walk.
And it was at the in the building. Isn't that where
Sears
Rhino?
Sears,
yes,
the old Sears building.
Yeah,
24.
And
yes.
y'all were set up in that lobby.
Yeah,
which I love that building. That's such a cool building.
Yep.
And I remember, and I remember the picture that I was looking at on the table was the police officers.
Yeah.
On the bridge, the motorcycle officers.
Yeah.
The one from the 50s,
shaking hands
with the current motorcycle officer.
Yeah, we made a blend, a new
That's
top.
That's we just got started. That's when we first started.
Oh,
doing
okay.
It.
That was probably about 2016 then, 2017.
Yeah. Maybe a little later. I don't know, but it was pretty close to that.
Yeah,
I remember we used to have a buddy of mine and I would have lunch at the we just called it the KCS Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what else to call it, and that building was so cool.
Yeah. Oh, and they opened it back up.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yep. When did they open it back up?
I don't know. We were at the Capri the other night at that downtown thing, and we talked to the owners there, the owners, and they said it's open. I'm talking about the owners of the KCS.
Yeah. They were there catering. And I forget
the name of it, but.
I say that because my wife and I were going to the Strand for a show, and I parked up the street a little bit, and I saw activity.
Yep. It's open in the evening.
So
too.
We walked across the railroad track. Mm-hmm. To go, and I was like, oh, y'all are back open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, how long have y'all been open? And she looked at me and goes, 2 years.
Really?
I said, no.
Not there.
No. And she goes, yes. Argued with me.
Well, really? We drive every time we drive by, I look at that building every time, and I've never seen
too.
Cars.
I know. Wow. So I don't know, but they are back open.
Yeah, the food they were catering is really good.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're
going
to try that out.
Okay. Well, I got to figure out what it is. But anyway, I remember we were in their lunch, and I said, I wonder if Mike and Mark know about this building.
Yeah.
Stupidest question I ever asked in my life. And I text y'all, and you said, well, video up. We've got pictures of it right now.
Yeah. Over 10 years, we've got Streetport basically covered downtown. So. Somebody will say, y'all need to do a story on this or that. And we're like, type in Twin Blends in that subject, and we got it.
Our favorite is, y'all need to do a story on Hamels. We're like,
we got like 20 stories on Hamels. Yeah. And we're making an AI video. We're finishing up an AI video of South Park Mall. You're going to watch this video and think that somebody went in there with a video camera in the 70s and 80s because we get the old pictures, put them to AI, and have people walking around talking. The mall's
That's
busy
amazing.
And packed.
Mm-hmm. The one you did of Shreve Square freaked me out.
Yeah. Isn't that so cool, man? It's so cool. We're not big, great fans of AI because there's some stupid stuff out there, but we love it that you can take these old pictures and make it like an 8 or 10 second video, and then we can double it and make it long as we want, but you can have people telling a story walking around, and it looks like we've hired actors to do
that. And they're not even real people.
No.
That's
you can just
amazing.
Say, have a guy walk in from the left and say
But you have to say from
this.
The 1970s or 1980s.
Right.
Or but sometimes when you say that, you come out and you're like, oh, my God.
You got these
God.
Big bouffant hairdos and these weird clothes, and you're like, that ain't working.
The bell bottoms,
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if you haven't seen that video, look up Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters Facebook.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Guys, stay with us.
Yep. Yes.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters is with us. I know you guys do more than just downtown as well, obviously.
Yeah.
Trolley, when you come across trolley tracks on Southern or something and the old brick the brick streets.
Yep.
When the pavement gets torn up, you go, look, there's bricks under here.
And tracks.
Pretty much anywhere there's a bulldozer around.
We see people digging around anywhere in Shreveport. We think, okay, what was there? Let's go see if we can find it.
I was going up. I forgot the name of the street.
Dadgummit.
No, it was if you turned left on Fairfield, right next to Betty Virginia Park, that street right there.
It's not Ockley, is it?
No, not Ockley. No,
oh, I know what you're talking about. You're going by
Betty Virginia Park.
Yes.
To Line Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stairs that go down to the park, and there's people that park right there on that. And I'm blank on the name of the street, Dadgummit. It's an odd name.
Yeah.
And a lady got out of her car and was heading toward those steps with a metal detector.
Really?
Oh, man, she beat us there.
Yeah.
She beat us there.
Yeah.
I still want to get a metal detector.
Well, hey, we just found last night, I looked at the negative collection that we have now, and we found 1925 pictures, three pictures of Betty Virginia Park in the.
You wouldn't believe.
Some, oh, my gosh. The
old equipment.
The plate.
Equipment. Oh, I remember in the 70s and 80s, they had the, remember the rocket ship
and
the big slide?
This was like a Ferris, like a two-person Ferris wheel with a big crane.
Oh, yeah. It was
and like a bench ride.
And we're like, and there, you know, it's just some weird. Oh, and like I say, kids are on the ride. And they got the little newspaper cap, you know, that the little boys used to wear and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was old. So.
It's crazy.
Well, I remember going up Marshall one time. And there was a construction, company there, and the building kind of went back, and it looked like behind the building was garage bays.
Mm-hmm.
Cool building. So, of course, I stopped, and just kind of walked in, and I said, hey, is the owner or manager, whatever? And the guy came out. He was super nice. And I said, tell me about this building. He said, this was the old Studebaker dealership.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, you're kidding. Yeah. He said, this is actually, he goes, the bays, he took me back to the back and said, these are the service bays.
Wow.
For the old Studebaker dealership.
That's great.
I said, man, and they've done a lot of work on the front. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Not restored to its old, but redone. And I'm like, man, thank you for keeping this building going.
Yeah.
Some of the pictures we find, we're like, oh, my gosh, where's this at? And we find it, and the building's still there. We're like, man, this is awesome. Yeah. You can compare to then and now. And it's so great that we have the building, some of the buildings that we used to back in the day. That's why we push big to, you know, not tear stuff down to save the history.
Well, like in West End, that new canteen park that they opened up, it's an event area. And we found the front of it when it was Whitfield Furniture. Of course, there's no brick feature front now. Because the front's not there anymore, but it's neat because we found a picture of the furniture store from like 1940 looking straight at the canteen park.
It's called the Far End now. They're calling it the West End area.
They're revitalizing
and putting stuff in there.
That's down further down Texas?
Yes.
Yes. Davis Men's Store.
Yeah.
Oh,
next
to it.
First National Bank.
Such a neat area.
I forget the guy's name that's revitalizing it.
I wish he bought some buildings in there.
Super nice.
Okay, nice.
Drive by there and look.
It's the one with the umbrellas. You ever drove by Texas Avenue and they got like probably 200 or 300 umbrellas over as a roof?
Different colored umbrellas and they
so
float.
Cool.
And it's like
an outdoor venue.
Yeah, and they have people sing and stuff like that. There's a coffee shop there and all. Yeah.
Haven't been over there in forever.
Yeah, drive by there and see it.
What about Shreveport Regional? I mean, have you...
Hold that thought because we got to take a break. Can you stay with us?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, see, I love this on Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. The first thing that popped up on your Facebook for me was the old Pseudo Records.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was the Cub Beverage Company.
Yeah, is that not cool? Yep.
Cub Back in 1955, and the
counterculture
was a gas station.
Yep.
Economy Oil.
Yep.
That is look at the guy's uniform pumping the gas.
Yeah, I know.
With the hat.
Yeah. Yep. That picture for a while and been needing to post it, and then somebody
posted on the Highland Friends group, and they had something about how they loved that old counterculture building, the one on the right.
Yeah.
And then Who was it? It was John Cush. I didn't even know it. That was the original Suto Records.
Yeah.
And they moved next door to that.
You know what Suto stands for?
Something out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, one of the
By the way, Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters in studio. It's always awesome when
we love it.
I just love talking to you about this, the Shreveport history. I talked with Ernie Robertson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Loved having him in. I remember, I've been here 4 years. Can you believe it?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
4 years.
Yeah.
And I remember I was talking to Robert one time, and he said, you got to get Ernie in.
Yeah. Yep.
And I thought, the registrar of voters? Really?
Yeah.
Ernie Robertson is a wealth of knowledge.
He is, yeah.
He's one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
My mom was his eighth grade teacher.
Really?
So,
oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So way back when. Yeah.
But he has, he's in the Timeline Antiques building next to Byrd High School there. Yep. Which was a theater when I was in high school.
Yeah, how do you know that? What was the name of that again there, Mike?
We got kicked out one time. We did go in there, and the scene was so stupid. We started laughing. It was like me and three other guys were going in there, you know. And I think we probably had some beverage.
Yeah.
And we just died laughing. And they said, get out. Okay, no problem. We didn't want to touch anything anyway.
Yeah,
but
interrupting the reputable customers there.
But in that, it's Timeline Antiques now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there is thousands.
Unbelievable. Ernie's got a whole setup in there.
We saw another day there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
but we spent a few hours in there. He's doing good. Everybody loves Ernie. Every time we ever post anything, their first comment was, "You need to talk to Ernie." And we're like, "Oh my gosh!"
We had a meeting somewhere the other day, and he was in there, and he was just talking about history, and we had our mouths open.
There was a group
stuff
of us
that he knew. He's that nobody else knows.
Great guy too. Great nicest guy,
And would love to love to share it.
Yep. Great guy.
Mike and Mark Mangum in studio. Jeff is in for Aaron. You guys hang with us.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters in studio. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty. You guys just did a walking tour, right?
We did. Yes. December the 6th and December the 13th.
Yep. Oh, so you did a couple?
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had so much interest.
Thanks for calling.
Well, we put it on Facebook about 30 times, Mike. And then people still say, dang, I wish I'd have known about it.
And we're like, honestly, I said that a minute ago.
Right. You should have had us on before then. You were begging. Can we go on?
Honestly, the only time I'm on Facebook is if I'm in this room, pretty much. I'm not really a social
Thanks
media.
Thanks for your support.
I know. I'm looking at your page now, and I was in the post office right up here on Pines Road. This has been, let me see if I can find out. Yeah, October of last year. I can't believe it's that long ago. And I run
Robert Parrish.
I run into
Big Man Chief.
He just walks in the post office like a normal human being.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. I remember I was at I'll say KRMD back in the 70s, early 80s when he was playing at Centenary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He carried the games.
Yeah.
And Canterbury. Canterbury. We used to have a show on there. And so I kind of got to know them.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool. It was really cool. He doesn't know me from, you know, Adam, but it was really cool to see him again.
Yeah,
and you've got it. You know, and I bring that up because you've got a post here on your.
Yeah. We're talking. It's, Byrd and Parrish before Byrd and Parrish. It was Jerry Byrd and Robert Parrish.
Yeah.
Jerry Byrd, of course, famous sports writer.
Yes.
And he did story after story of, well, every sports figure. He was a legend around here, and he did a story on Robert Parrish, and so we posted that.
Yeah, we come across those. That was just cool to see him back in the
gold
day. Mike colorized him and put him on Facebook.
Yeah.
Jerry Byrd did a story on my daughter when she was swimming. She swam for Cost and then, of course, went to Auburn. But he did a story, and he'd done some research that I she holds a lot of state records. Sorry, I'm dad.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Allow me for a moment.
Yeah.
But in his article, he was saying her time on the I don't remember what it was. He goes, her time today is faster than Johnny Weissmuller's time in the Olympics, the 1932 Olympics or whatever. And for those that don't know Johnny Weissmuller, he was an Olympic swimmer who went on to fame playing Tarzan.
Wow, that just shows you the detail that Jerry went through.
Exactly.
Yeah. He didn't have the internet. They didn't have the internet. He looked it all up.
He did research on that, and it was fascinating. We miss him also.
Yeah.
So you just did some walking tours. Mm-hmm. Anything scheduled? I know it's kind of
cool. We'll
have
some more probably in January because people say they missed it. You know, they wanted more walking tours and stuff.
And explain what that is for those that are listening that might be interested.
We take old pictures found in downtown on Texas Street, and we start at Rhino Coffee, which is the lofts at 624, and we go up to Head of Texas. We cross over in front of the First Methodist Church. We go on the other side all the way back down to the bridge to Commerce Street and cross over and come back up and end up at Rhino. But we have over 75 8x10 laminated pictures of pictures that were taken back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
From the
LSUS archives. And we go to the spot where the picture was taken and we say, this is what it used to look like back then. And sometimes the building's still there and a lot of times it's not.
Right.
And they're like, Woolworths was Montgomery Ward, JCPenney, Western Auto. And we show this is what everything used to be, and people are fascinated. We'll be sitting in front of like the JCPenney building. We'll say, okay, raise your hand who knows what this used to be. And both tours, nobody knew. We're like, this was JCPenney back in the day. Here's a picture, and it shows
and
downtown.
Where was this?
Well,
it's Foster Building, Foster Campbell Building downtown.
Across the street from the. The library.
Shreve Memorial Library.
Directly
across the street. Yeah. If you go to Twin Blends on Facebook and search Twin Blends JCPenney downtown.
To the left of Noble Savage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
That's it.
It's funny. That's my reference. I know Noble Savage.
Yeah. Good place to eat, by the way.
Good place to eat.
Amazing. Silpen has done such a great job there.
He's a nice guy. Get the wings. I highly recommend
the food is incredible. It's not a commercial for Noble Savage, but
but it was.
Amazing. Guys, hang with us. We've got to take a quick break.
Okay.
I want to go back to the walking tours.
Okay.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. 101.7 FM, 710 Keys.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, there's so much that I wanted to still get to. Hamels, just incredible. Yeah. We were talking earlier about Hamels.
Yep.
I remember the train at Hamels. You used to go there ride around.
Oh, Hamels, yeah.
At Hamels, And then Ford Park.
Ford Park train.
We're right at the same age, so you probably grew up going to Ford Park.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure did. Storyland.
Storyland. Yeah. Mama, the
old lady
Mother
in the
Goose.
Yeah, and Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah. All those buildings. Are there pieces of those things still around?
The train is the fire engine car.
Is the tank still there?
No,
tank's long gone.
The tank is gone.
Yeah. So
I remember climbing on all that stuff, ringing the bell.
Yeah.
You'd hear that bell on that train.
You're right. I didn't think about that. Peacocks. Remember the peacocks? You could hear the peacocks all over Ford Park.
And you've got pictures, some great pictures of the old Ford Park.
Yep.
Herschel Cobb had the lines out there, Elvis, all the lines, and the bear.
Yeah, go to Facebook and type in Twin Blends Ford Park, and you'll see tons of pictures and a then and now video that we've made of it too.
Yeah, look, somebody built all that stuff.
Yeah,
here that was just
old lady in the shoe.
Old lady in the shoe, and that was just that was
great
wonderful.
Memories.
And thank you guys for keeping that going.
Yeah. So
we enjoy it. We enjoy it. And right now we're working on, we'll be posting the next day or two, a South Park Mall video. We're using AI for old pictures. Be looking for that because you will actually think that we went to back in the 70s and 80s. We walked down the mall with video camera equipment and had people talking in the mall's crowded with people. It will bring back so many.
Remember
memories.
The old bridges in the mall down there by Dillard's?
Fountains and stuff.
People walking over the bridges and it's so cool.
Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's cool. Good. It's exciting.
And because you did a video, an AI video of Shreve Square.
Shreve Square,
And it looks like people.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Hey, let's go to
Valley and
Alleys.
Yeah.
And they're not real people.
No. Well, some of them are now. We did A-Train. I mean, not A-Train. We did Exit, the band Exit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were talking. Oh, Danny and them didn't mind us doing that.
Yeah.
Had them talking and stuff, saying, we're the band Exit.
You know? Yes. Yeah. They haven't gotten back with you now. They're
probably, yeah.
I guess we're okay.
They're probably going, we never looked that good.
Yeah. And we got a couple more Texas Street walking tours that people, we had two.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yes. We had one December 6th, one December 13th, and people that missed it, there won't more, so we'll have some more in January and February.
Oh,
it'll be announced.
Oh, great. Oh, and we're working on maybe doing a book, because people ask us about a book.
We get that. That's the number one question. And so we got our sister. She says she's going to help us, so because it's you know, and we had other people we're talking to that's done books, and they're going to help us too. So
now, would this be like a collection of your
some of the best photos?
Like we'll probably just a bunch of the stories and stuff that we post on Facebook with old pictures. We can do a blend, but I think I told Mark I think people are more interested in the old photos and the story behind the old photos. The blends can come
right. And we can have chapters like on streetcars, on steamboats, and. Yeah. A Kokomo, you know, different
Camels,
places,
Camels like
and Ford Park, different chapters. So that's something.
So if you're interested, let us know. Leave a comment on it. You know?
Yeah. But now that's the number one question we get when we're going to do
the walking tours. Is there a charge?
Yeah. $20 donation, you know, to help us with the fees. Because we just recently bought a large negative 8x10 negative scanner, and that was pretty pricey, but it allows us to bring better product, you know, better sound equipment, better, you know, camera equipment. And
it helps us to save history.
And if somebody wants to, go to your Facebook page.
Facebook page. We have a Patreon account. We have a Venmo. They can do PayPal if they want to make donations. And like I say, anything like that just to help us save
history. On the walking tour, a guy walked up to us, how can I help? And he wrote us a check right there. And that helped pay for that large negative.
That's awesome. Guys, fastest hour in radio.
Yes. Yeah.
So much.
We love it. We love it. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Mike.
Oh, so glad. Appreciate it. You guys are
Thanks, Reuben.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Check them out on Facebook. You'll be scrolling for an hour before you know
100%.
It. 101.7 FM, 710 Key. Seven FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Cattle Parish Commissioner Grace Ann Blake joining us. Grace Ann, good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Good morning.
Well, let's do a real quick preview before we get into the stories of the new year. Let's give folks an update because people have asked me, when are we shaving my head? That's going to happen Monday morning, correct?
Yes, Monday morning. We will be there, the team, the Clippers, and kind of like a nervous hand.
Okay.
What time are we doing that?
Right after 7 o'clock, correct?
Okay.
7 a.m.
And for somebody that doesn't know, this is a follow-up on Operation Santa Claus. If we hit, what was it?
20 grand.
20, oh, wow. $20,000, Erin said she would shave her head. We surpassed that amount thanks to some very generous donations.
Yes, we started it on Monday, December 8th. That very day, a gentleman brought in 10 grand in cash. On Wednesday, another gentleman brought in 7 grand in cash. We raised about 3 grand on that Wednesday. The final tally, I was told, in that between Monday and Friday, just 1 week, 5 days, topped $25,000.
Wow.
And so on the December 15th, and last time we did it in about 2 or 3 weeks. This time we did it literally in 5 days.
Less than a week.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And Monday the 15th, they started delivering the toys. So it will be...
Somebody really wanted to see you bald.
Big time. I'm not sure I'm liking this, but because I told Ruben the last time I did it was 5 years ago, right, Rube? I said, I'm never doing it again.
Never again, you said.
What was I thinking? Well, they came to me and said it's been a tough year for donations. So how long does it take to typically shave a person's head?
I mean, minute. My hands are going to be shaking. You know, it's not the common experience for a hairstylist to shave a head. And so, you know, a little nerve-wracking, but exciting at the same time that you're willing to do this and to do it for such a great cause for the children, you know, in our community to have a Christmas. I mean, you put smiles on faces doing this.
Okay.
Well, this is a huge, huge deal, you know. And I'm going to just put this out here now, Mike. I think we need to start talking about that beer.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay, we're going to take a break. And I'm going to go open the door.
We're going to talk pickleball with Grace Sam when we get back.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keo.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keo.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Caddo Parish Commissioner Grace Ann Blake joining us. Grace Ann, again, thanks for joining us. Happy Friday. Happy New Year. We were discussing the biggest news stories of 2025 and what will carry over into 2026. And I think... Now, the pickleball story with the park was a big story.
Scott Hughes says that was the biggest story of the year.
I think the data center story is going to usurp that.
I think so, too.
In 2026.
I certainly hope that the data center does. I think that we need to look at all the wonderful things that both stories are going to bring to Caddo Parish. I certainly... don't understand this controversy of pickleball, and
Okay, wait a minute now. Come on, you know the controversy with pickleball is that people don't understand. They see the $10 million and they're like, "Don't we have better things to spend that money on?" That was the problem with that, right?
Yes. So yes, I would say people don't understand the logistics. And that saddens me. And so I'm doing all that I can to get information out there. And I think that's something important for elected officials, for us to do a better job of bringing information to the constituents, for sure. But I also think that there's a really real conversation that there are some people that want to be little negative voices, that they get behind their keyboard, and instead of being positive and getting the great information out there, there just seems
it is great information. How could it have been presented differently to the public up front? And what story can you tell to say, look, this money cannot be spent on roads. It cannot be spent on infrastructure. This is it is designated for this. How do you get that message out?
I, for a year, went to every meeting I possibly could. I contacted people by phone. I met with organizations and people that had no clue that who I was or what the commission was. I did everything that I could possibly think of and literally started going door to door and businesses to business with a packet of information. And, I mean, that's what I brought to Keel Radio, was the list of people that were supporting pickleball.
But we're still here. We still hear that same voice about, why is government spending $10 million? How do you reach that person who does not, I mean, who absolutely has no clue?
I think there's a big conversation for where we're at in the nation, maybe the world. I travel the world, of that we have some fringe people that just want to stay in a lane and not willing to sit down and have a conversation. And I think that for Caddo Parish, for the city of Shreveport, if we want to grow, we have to sit down and really have conversation and be willing to have those hard conversations.
Okay, you're actually walking in the studio, so you can turn off your phone and come on in the studio, because I want to ask you now, what happens with pickleball now in 2026? What will be happening? I know you have to go sell the revenue bonds. And then what happens? Is there planning? Is there pricing? What happens next?
Right. We still have to cross some T's and dot some I's to finalize things. You know, I don't have all the complete answers for you. We've been out of session for a few weeks for the holidays, but I certainly would love to come back with all of that information for you to give you the details. I know that we're expecting to get right down to business, and hopefully you see a groundbreaking, you know, this year. Hopefully we move forward expeditiously, and we start doing what's right for this community.
For folks who don't know, the proposed pickleball complex would be located at the YMCA, the Lash Branch on Ellerby Road, 19 courts. Some of them would have covering over them, but for the most part, they're outdoor courts. 19 courts was what the pickleball community said they wanted. Is that accurate?
Right. So there are demographics and there are numbers and there are reasons for that. And so this is what the professionals have come up with to ensure that they can handle the tournaments.
That's the minimum amount of courts needed to host these huge tournaments
that
travel across the country.
Right. And also the professionals understand, let's talk about the outdoors versus indoors.
Yes, please.
There are people across the country that right now are playing pickleball and they're desperately trying to find a warm place to play.
Ah,
right.
Okay.
So when we talk about,
it's 80 degrees today.
Right.
January 2nd, it's going to be 80.
So
here,
we need to sit down and really talk about the cold weather and what will we sit and do in cold weather for sports? How many people get out and play golf in inclement weather? Mm-hmm. Soccer. I was a soccer mom.
Oh,
I was
too.
A track mom, and I sat with every device to stay warm, and my children did not care. The schools didn't care, right? And so football, baseball.
You bet.
Swimming. If you have a child that's a swimmer, you're outdoors in locations. Okay, your daughter was a swimmer.
Yes.
So I don't want to anymore have conversations that are not helpful. Let's talk about the positive. There are people that are looking forward to come play in 90-degree weather.
Okay, one
that
more
has shade.
One more shade.
What kind of surprised me was the league, the association, Pickleball Association, prefers outdoor courts.
Correct.
Opposed
to
indoor
courts.
Think
about football. Okay, people prefer to be outdoors. Soccer, outdoors. My son was a lacrosse player, outdoors. There's nothing wrong with indoor leagues, and there will always be that as well.
Are you confident this pickleball complex will generate the revenue to pay back these bonds?
I do. I 100% do. And let me just say, this is something that I am fighting for because I am a constituent first. I was a mother. I have sought and desperately wanted to have this in my life. I'm 56 years old, my whole adult life. And when I travel to other communities, I just sit and I wonder why. Well, now I'm in an elected position and I see why. This is not easy business. This is hard business. And so really trying to help people understand is what we have to continue to do.
And I watched all the bowl games this year. And I watch when the teams go to Orlando, they go to Fort Worth, they go to the big cities, and you see them taking them to SeaWorld. The athletes are going to these amusement parks, and they're doing all these fun and cool things. And I'm thinking, where are they taking them when they come to Shreveport? I'm sure they're going to the golf place, and there are a few places here in town, but we need more of that.
We do need more of that. And this center, and I'm going to call it a complex, is more than just pickleball. I love that.
It's a park. It's
going to be a beautiful park. And if we look at what Caddo Parish did for Walter B. Jacobs, for North Caddo, which is going to help all of Caddo Parish, which is going to actually help all of Northwest Louisiana and the state of Louisiana, that's what this is going to do. This is not about just simply that section of the parish or pickleball. It's going to be much more than that. So if we were to talk about Walter B. Jacobs, we're not going to talk just about a snake.
We want to talk about that when we come back. Can you stay with us?
I certainly can.
I want to talk about that cool
awesome
park.
I'm excited.
It's days in. So within days, it's opening.
2026 is going to be a great year.
Yeah.
Caddo Parish Commissioner Grace Ann Blake in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
1017 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty in studio, Caddo Parish Commissioner Grace Ann Blake joining us.
You brought up the Walter B. Jacobs Nature Center. I think that's the official new name, correct?
Yeah, they changed the name officially. Mm-hmm.
You were there when they did the private gathering and the tour and all that.
Yes.
When's it opening to the general public?
January the 17th.
Okay.
Bring your family, bring your friends. Do not miss this opportunity to see this facility, a park, a event center, a education center, a resource center for, you know, all things about Louisiana and the outdoors in Northwest Louisiana.
And all kinds of critters are there, right?
All kinds of critters. It's unbelievable. It is an unbelievable space. We're very fortunate.
Now, it's not a zoo.
No.
It's not a zoo, but they do have, of course, Rusty, our friend, our dear friend, Rusty Scarborough, is a falconer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he like an official falconer?
Of his lifelong knowledge of what he does, and that is the story. When you walk into this facility, there is a book that is huge, I don't know, 10, 15 feet tall and wide, that you follow a story from this storybook, and it's unbelievable. And it's a story that Rusty created. It's amazing.
There's a lightning tree.
A lightning tree.
Seriously.
It's so cool. It is so cool. I mean, I must have done it 10 times. There's this little pad that you get to stand on, and you feel like you're actually on dirt, and it smells like the outdoors of dirt and little critter sounds, and it is unbelievable.
Oh, and there are going to be, you can host parties there. Your corporate gatherings can be hosted there, all kinds of things.
Schools can come out and have class there. They're going to have, they have areas for food trucks, the parking, there's plenty of parking. It is so well thought that, you know, and that's what I want to say for 2026, Caddo Parish is really doing some great things and has sat down and come up with, what can we do for the citizens of Caddo Parish that makes sense for fun, for moving forward? And that's what Walter B. Jacobs is.
Mm-hmm.
When we get back, I want to ask you, I see stories like community fights back against data centers. And it's so frustrating.
And let's talk about the community that fought for it.
Mm-hmm. Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner in studio, Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710keel.
Caddo Parish Commissioner Grace Ann Blake in studio, Mike and McCarty. Well, first of all, I was kind of surprised, quite frankly. Were you surprised at the amount of kickback when the data center story kind of broke? The kickback from the community?
Yes.
I was, too.
I truly was. I'm a very logistics and a logical thinker. And so I'm like, gather the right information. What can we do to help our community? And we've missed a lot of boats and ships have sailed. And I ran for office because of my frustrations. And I'm a business owner. And so anything that we can do to help this community, I see as a positive.
Well, even our mayor sat in this room in that chair and said Shreveport has a history of not making great decisions.
I've never been more proud of our mayor than that moment. He spoke truth, and it's not easy to speak about negative things. I like to move forward and use that momentum. But we have to sometimes use our past experiences to push us forward. And so we sometimes do have to talk about the negative things. And we have a history of doing that. And I spoke at the city council meeting as a business owner, as a constituent, my frustrations for 45 years of being an adult. And I say 45 years because of my age and how long I've been working and how long that I've owned a company and how long I've been an active person working in this community.
Right.
And so for 45 years of my life, we have been suffering because of missing the boat and ship sailing by.
let me ask you this. You're on the Caddo Commission. You've signed an NDA, I would assume, with regard to this company.
I have not.
You have not?
I have not.
Did some of your other commissioners sign an NDA?
Some did. And I...
Did you just refuse or was it not offered?
I didn't refuse. When I had a phone call to talk about the data centers, I simply said...
This is interesting.
I'm for this. And if you don't need to share private information, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I am in support of this, and I would like to get information on the location.
So what has not been shared with you that because you have not signed an NDA, you don't know who the company is?
The only thing is the company.
Okay.
And I think that this is something that we do need to talk about.
When will we know who that is? That's what the whole community is like. Why are these NDAs?
In the world of business, that is not an unusual practice.
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the fact that people think they're hiding something because an NDA was signed, but that's not the case.
Right. And so when you have elected officials sharing other information than that simple fact, that's wrong. And so I'm not going to be that person. I'm not going to play games. I'm not going to hide information. There is no personal gain for me, except for having a community that doesn't suffer anymore, mm-hmm. that we do grow. We do things that are wonderful to help this community for the businesses that are here, for the people that are here. This past weekend met a young man named Colby who has moved back from New Orleans, who graduated college in New Orleans, went to Byrd High School, lifelong resident, and came back here, 27 years old. And he is the reason we need a data center.
There is a measure on your agenda for Monday.
A lot more people like him.
There's a Correct. Measure on your agenda Monday with regard to George Carver School, we know it as the Ellerbe Road School, to use that property possibly for a future data center as well. I know that was one of the sites Ken Epperson was pitching.
That property is not property that can be used for a data center.
Okay, explain why.
Well, we don't have infrastructure for that location set up for it. Not to say that in the future something could be used positive for that property, that mm-hmm. tract of land, but that is not what any company is looking at for a data center. And for us to individually, or for an elected official to individually come up with a plan and to present it in this manner, I do not support that.
Disingenuous, you think?
Very disingenuous. And this would be an example of continuing to try to hold back an opportunity and to create a route that's not going to help do something now.
Okay, if it were a viable site, it has to start with being declared an industrial zone, correct? You'd have to start there.
So I find it disingenuous to have a person fighting against a location that's already in a zoned industrial location. And so seeing that battle is very confusing and baffling. And there's a lot of things that could be put in the location of the location that we're talking about in West Shreveport. And that location could have a gravel plant, that could have a chicken factory.
Mm-hmm.
They're fighting something that is going to, yes, for a moment, having something built, that will be a headache. Just like if something's being built in your neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
that there's noise. But once it's built, it's going to be a quiet, beautiful structure. People that live in that region will not they will not know it's even there. And that's important.
Are you confident
to have somebody say that they don't want something industrial in their district, but then they want to create an industrial park in another area is baffling to me.
Are you confident our electric rates won't go up and that we have the water infrastructure to handle this data center?
I am confident. I am confident. I have talked, listened to, gone to meetings, gathered information. I am confident. This is something that has been very, very well thought through.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, for coming late to the game from this, we do see the negatives in other areas that we now have a positive route to create.
When we come back, we want to refresh the shaving of the head and shaving of the beard is now a thing.
So we got to take a break.
2026.
Next, Grace Ann Blake in studio. Mike and McCarty, you clear that with my wife and my daughter, and then we'll talk.
Okay, they're good with it. I just got a text.
1017 FM, 710 Keel.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm so glad we don't have the cameras on.
Boy,
anymore.
No kidding. Man, we could make money with those cameras, though.
Well, yeah,
we could
make a ton and we'd of money. Lose a lot, too.
Yeah, we might. We might.
Grace
FCC
Blake,
fines.
Caddo Parish Commissioner in studio, Mike and McCarty.
Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm unbelievable.
We got a review real quickly. If you've missed the early part of this hour, the pledge I made to shave my head for Operation Santa Claus. I did it on December 8th if we raised $20,000. Well, in 5 days, the two big donors came through.
Unbelievable. I mean,
unbelievable with 13 grand. No, 17 grand.
17, yeah. One came in grand. With $10,000 and another came in with $7,000, mm-hmm. which put us over the 20.
Yeah. We have wow. raised more than $25,000 in that less than a week. So on the 15th, that Monday following that pledge, they started delivering the toys. They went out and bought 80, with the cash, they went out and bought 80 baskets of toys and sent me the pictures of those toys and said, this is all you.
And when you say baskets, you mean the carts, the buggies.
Big old buggies, yes.
Grocery
big old buggies.
Yes, shopping carts.
My dear friend, disclosing this, Grace Ann Blake owns Avalon Hair Salon. We go back years. And
yeah, the start of my company.
Yes, we've been friends for a long time, and she happens to be a politician now, which is, I don't blame her for that. I mean, she's doing a great work, but you've agreed to shave my head on Monday.
Yes.
You're going to bring a member of your crew.
Yes.
And
who are you bringing?
So I'm inviting all of my hairstylists, and I know a few will be coming. It's going to be early. It's asking a lot from my hairstylist to be up this
right,
early.
Yeah.
To,
how often do women come in and go, shave my head bald, make me a cue ball?
I would say once every 3 to 5 years, we will have someone that wants to have the look
really?
Of Sinead O'Connor.
Okay.
When I was in California.
There's always that person.
I was about to do the show Aladdin, mm-hmm. and I was the genie, and I didn't want to do a bald cap, and I dropped the family off at Laguna Beach, and I drove up the Pacific Coast Highway and mm-hmm. ended up in a little small town, saw a barber shop, and I went in, and it was like Floyd. It was an old guy.
Oh, man.
And I said, he goes, what are we doing today? And he's putting a towel. I said, shave it off. He goes, all of it? I said, everything. He goes, down to the bone? I said, please stop before you hit bone.
Yeah.
So,
so we're working
my
on.
Head, you don't want to see
we're
bald.
Working on the plan for next year.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That will focus on Mr. Martindale.
Yes.
Mr. Martindale.
So all you listeners, let's start now preparing for Operation Santa Claus 2026. Mm-hmm. Shave the beard.
Shave the beard.
Shave the beard.
How long has it been since you've shaved the beard?
It's been a long time.
I've never known you to
right.
have anything but the beard.
Thank you.
And so this would be very exciting.
Oh, wow.
I will.
A true
you,
Operation
I
Santa
a lot,
Claus.
A lot younger.
Yes. And it's you. That's your natural color. It's naturally white.
It naturally comes in white.
That is
my
so
hair
crazy.
Still, I say it's red. People go, you're redheaded?
Mm-hmm.
But my hair and my beard are two different colors.
I'm now, getting text messages from some hairstylists that are listening.
Oh, they're willing
that
to come in.
They're excited to come in. Yes. So Heather Harris is the first.
Okay. We're doing it right
there.
After 7 o'clock Monday morning. If you want to listen, it doesn't stress me out a really bunch.
Yeah.
I
love that about you. And I think that let's talk about this a second. There are those people that want to have a fun look.
We're mm-hmm. against the clock. We got Sean Hannity.
Monday morning, you
Monday
and your crew
morning.
Will be here. Oh, can't wait. Oh, yeah. Woo!
Thanks for coming out. Grace Ann Blake, Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, we had Commissioner of Insurance Tim Temple scheduled, but you have been known.
Mike's been known.
I've been known.
To screw up the dates.
I've been known to get the dates wrong.
And I've been out for a little while, so perhaps it's next Friday and I screwed up the dates. But, I, you know, he may call any minute now, Ruben. But
we'll watch out for the light.
We'll see. But I have to spotlight somebody in our community who, when they do great things.
Oh, this is so
this
cool.
Just warms my heart. The Bossier Police Chief, Chief Haugen, he and
when
his,
you first let me preface this.
Yeah.
When you first you said, did you see what the Bossier Police Chief did?
You were thinking
and I was like,
negative.
Oh crap. No, I know now. No, what?
This is the best thing ever. And if you're a leader, if you own a business, or if you're a leader and people look up to you, I want you to remember what this man did.
This is awesome.
Because this man is the chief of police in Bossier City. And he and his entire command staff, I don't think he forced them to do it. They just did it out of their own volition. They decided to work patrol on Christmas.
Yes.
So that their patrol officers, who have little children, could be home with their children. His kids are grown. The command staff, their kids are grown. They, you know, they don't have to be there on Christmas morning when Santa has arrived. These guys volunteered to do this, and there's pictures of them working in neighborhoods, working patrol.
Aaron, they also cooked and delivered food to his patrol officers on the evening shift.
That's the gift of a true leader.
That
is somebody who, and tip of the hat to, please,
Chief
if you
Haugen.
Know Chief Haugen and the guys
yes.
who were the guys and gals that worked patrol so that the staff could have the day off. I mean, really, that's the spirit of what it's all about.
Now, what does Mayor Tommy Chandler say? Bossier just does it better.
Yeah, the great city of Bossier City.
The great city of Bossier City.
I got a text from him, Happy New Year.
Yesterday. I did too,
yeah,
yes.
He sends those out regularly. But really, in the grand scheme of things, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to work on Christmas. He could have stayed home with his wife and, you know, his family gathering.
Enjoyed the perks of yeah, rank. Sure.
Of being the highest guy on the staff. How many police chiefs got out and worked patrol on Christmas Day?
So their officers could be home.
So the officers with little kids could be home.
That's awesome.
That is just one of those things that just warms my heart. And I know it's done all over the community. And I know the Shreveport Police and Fire Department, they delivered Christmas toys. I mean, all the whole week before Christmas, they were out in our neighborhoods delivering toys and for Operation Santa Claus. And to neighborhoods where these children wouldn't get Christmas without our help. So to see the spirit of that in all of the people that work public safety and that are public servants, it really is heartwarming. That's what it's all about.
You know, Aaron, it just when you say that, public servant, when I see comments like Joe Biden has dedicated his life as a public servant for 50 years, I'm like, no, he didn't. Mm. No, he didn't. But when you see people like this,
yes,
who
yes.
are true public servants,
right, exactly.
And do things like this mm-hmm. to serve their own personnel. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, and I know you probably had a great Christmas. I had a great Christmas. I got to visit with my my oldest son, and his fiance's family. I made a trip to San Antonio while I was away, and my three grandpuppies who are adorable, and it was just a really. And I got to meet my soon to be in-laws. Her family, we played right. games and all. I thought I was the most competitive human on earth. Oh, no. Oh, no. He's marrying into it. I think he's marrying into it. Yeah. But it was a great time. It was just relaxing
good.
And enjoyed my time.
Good.
I know you had family in and y'all
yes,
had a good time,
we
too.
We had a great time. My daughter came in from Florida and was here for a week, and that was priceless. Aaron, I'm not kidding. We came in on Wednesday, Christmas Eve. We mm-hmm. came back in. And then when we got, what was it, Ruben, was it, when did we come back, Monday?
What's that?
It was the fastest week.
Oh, yeah.
It did.
In
it
the
by.
History, I'm not kidding.
Right, yeah, from the time we were off when we came back on Monday, felt it,
It's like we were just here yesterday.
Right.
I'm not kidding. It was odd because when we're like the Saturday night, I had to take my daughter to the airport Sunday morning because mm-hmm. she was flying back. I said, what did we do?
Yeah.
I remember we went to Natchitoches one night, went and had dinner and saw Christmas lights.
Oh, cool.
We went to my cousin's on Christmas Eve in Arcadia. But it's like, what did we do that made the time
yes.
go so... That was the fastest week in history.
Right. I had a neat experience, too, because one of my soon-to-be daughter-in-law's brother has a new baby who's 8 months old. And there is nothing like watching a baby at Christmas with seeing all the colors and the packages and, you know, baby.
And that's
baby.
About the age when they actually start coming to life.
Oh, he's really.
Yes.
He was not feeling really great. He was a little under the weather, but... And they make out like a bandit because everybody buys gifts for the kids. You know, the rest of us kind of exchange one person. But, I mean, this child had a pile of gifts and, you know, then they wanted books. That was so heartwarming to see a young family that said, we want books.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they got all yes. kinds of books for different ages. And I'm like, what a brilliant idea because you're going to use books for that child's lifetime.
But,
you know?
But Aaron, when you start a child reading...
Mm-hmm.
Actually reading for pleasure.
Yes.
I read to my children when they were little.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And my son was reading Lonesome Dove when he was like 10 years old.
Wow. Wow.
And so, and it makes such a difference.
A lifelong habit that they love.
Yes.
And enjoy.
They both my kids love to read to this day.
And books can take you anywhere in the world you want to go. Anywhere in the world and do any spiritual journey you want can take you there. So, yeah, I super encourage that. But it was a great
time.
That's
a great idea. Yeah.
I enjoyed my time. And
I tried not to bother you. I didn't bother you while you were out.
You did not. I had one work-related thing about 2 days ago, which we got it solved
right.
pretty quickly. But other than that, it was a great time off. And I like this coming in and working one day in the week.
And then we'll get the weekend off.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I can get used to that. I really could.
Let's start that. Let's do this and just come in on Fridays now, from now on.
I like that, Ruben. Will you get that approved? You work
yeah,
on that.
I'm on the phone right now.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. But anyway, again, kudos to Chief Haugen and his
yeah.
administrative staff. Just wow.
Mm-hmm.
Not administrative, his patrol staff.
Yeah, his command staff. Attaboy. Attaboy. Big time. Man. Love guys like that.
Good job. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, I guess I'm going to have to talk to my wife.
Okay.
And let her know, and my daughter.
Beard be gone next year? This year.
I'm going to have to let them know that
this is going to be a thing.
This is apparently happening. Because Grace Ann is not going to let this go.
No, she's not going to let this go. She wants to shave the beard.
Yes.
She's ready to go. We can make a lot of money on that. We can make a lot of money.
And hopefully by that time, maybe I will have lost like 40 pounds.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So then it won't be so bad. I'll only have two chins. This beard serves a purpose, by the way.
Maybe I need to grow a beard. Maybe that's my problem. Ruben.
What did I do?
I might need your help here.
Okay.
I got a text. This is important.
It sounds important.
You ready?
Okay.
Hello. This is Amelia. From the Amazon recruiting team.
Amelia.
Yeah. We have a position that's a great fit for you. Helping companies like Amazon increase app visibility and user growth. Flexible working hours. Daily salary, $200 to $600. Free training, 15 to 20 days. Paid annual leave plus statutory holidays. We currently have 50 open positions. You must be at least 25 years old and have a strong sense of responsibility. Please text blah, blah, blah for more details. Can I text them for more details?
Hey, go ahead. Send them my info, too.
Absolutely. Send them all of our info.
$300
Let's sign
a day?
Up.
$200 to $600 a day.
Whoa. $600 a day? Okay, how much is that?
$600, that's $3,000 a week.
I could live off that.
That's 12 grand a month.
I could take that pay cut and still be okay.
I don't know if I could. I'm not sure. Bentley's kind of pricey. But
yeah,
my problem is this text came to me and 11 other people.
See, that ticks me off.
That's awful.
I want this crap to stop.
And you can't reply because then you just let them know it's an active number.
Right. I'm going to block them, but I'm like, why are they doing this? And it probably has nothing to do with Amazon.
No, it said companies like Amazon.
Yes,
did you
exactly.
catch that wording? It doesn't say that it is Amazon.
It says this is Amelia from the Amazon recruiting team.
Oh.
They don't want people doing that. Amazon doesn't want people doing that.
Of course not.
And texting random people, you mean, about job offers?
No. Out of the blue. And, you know, if you want the number, you know, if you really do want the number, you know, you can message us and we'll put it on the message board.
I guarantee if you Google
it's
that
a scam.
Number, though, they'll go, you go ahead and text that number and then they will probably have access to your phone and all your vital information.
Hand me your phone. Let me text. Okay, let me text them.
let me toss it to you.
That's when you want a burner phone. I want a burner phone just to text and go, I want one of them jobs. hook a sister up.
Aaron, the sad thing is somebody's going to text it.
Someone falls for it.
That's the reason they keep doing it.
They keep doing it because people keep falling for this crap.
And my problem is, and this is for a Reuben question. This is a Reuben question. I'm getting more and more of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm beginning to get to that point where they realize
the fall for it age.
I'm in the fall for it age.
Right.
Yes,
fall for it age.
Right.
They know that, don't they?
Yep.
They 100%. Know. They know everything about me. They're like, ooh, she could fall for this scam. She's
but why,
in that.
Why do they think 600 people are looking for jobs?
That's the also thing. That's the other thing.
I mean,
I have a decent job.
I'm not looking for another job.
No, I'm ready to. Yeah, I'm loving my job. I'm not saying I'm ready to quit. No, don't. You didn't hear me say that.
Right.
I'm very content with my job.
I'm not looking to start a new career.
Right.
At my age.
What people in our age group would want to go start a brand new career?
That's what I don't understand.
I'm not even looking for a brand new career at my age.
Yeah, exactly.
which is half our age.
Is there anything I can do, Reuben, to get out of the fall for it bracket?
Tune your algorithms to younger stuff. I don't know. Stop watching reruns of the Lawrence Welk show on your phone, maybe?
Hey! TMI! Okay,
now, hold on.
That's
I actually
him. That's
liked
not
it.
Me.
I do. Saturday nights at 6 o'clock, I'm watching. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I do. I love it.
Oh, man.
Quit watching Lawrence Welk and Dinah Shore to where your phone can hear it.
Okay.
No, I don't watch Dinah Shore.
I play pickleball 24/7. I run marathons. I'm a bodybuilder. I eat vegan food only.
I need creatine abs. I want golf clubs.
My boobs don't dip down to my belly button.
Okay, that's
enough.
That's
enough.
Right.
Okay,
there we
sorry.
Go.
Yeah. News.
Wow.
I
edit
that out, Reuben.
I don't even want to cover that. 101.7 FM, 710 Boob Keel.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I finally broke down and watched the F1 movie. It's on Apple TV.
The Brad Pitt movie?
Yes.
I actually saw that at the theater.
I've been holding off because I didn't want to be disappointed.
It's bad.
Because it's like, Reuben, and we talked about this a little bit earlier this week. When you watch a movie about, like, I referenced Play Misty for Me with Clint Eastwood in the early 70s. And he was a disc jockey. And when you see the things that they do and you go, oh, come on.
That's hogwash.
That doesn't work that way.
Right.
He puts on a 3.5-inch reel-to-reel and then leaves the station for 6 hours.
Right. Yeah. It's like watching a medical show as a doctor or a nurse.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
it's the same deal.
Mm. And so I appreciate it when we're watching a medical show and my wife goes, oh, that was good.
Oh, wow.
They
okay.
do stuff right.
Yeah.
Right. So when I watch, because I've gotten so into F1, and I can't believe it's been 4 years or whatever years mm-hmm. in that I've been watching. I don't even watch Drive to Survive anymore. Because the drivers are like, well, that's bullshnozzle.
Right.
He and exactly. I don't hate each other. We're very good friends.
Yeah.
They're creating drama.
Mm-hmm.
The actual stories are good enough.
Yes.
I did watch it.
Not good.
And to me, Aaron, the writing was kind of weak.
What that movie shouted to me was Brad Pitt needed a paycheck.
Well, even Dina goes, is Brad Pitt kind of not doing a good job? I said, yeah, he's kind of phoning it in.
He did. He mailed it in. There's no doubt.
Yes.
I did see a great one, though, over my break. I saw a great one. Now, I actually had to rent it because it's really very new. Nuremberg. It is Russell Crowe.
Yes.
And Remy Malek, is it?
Yes.
Extraordinary.
He's so good.
I don't think we realized how big a legal case that was. The Nuremberg trials, how unprecedented that was to take those war criminals to trial before judges that were from different countries, from Russia, from the U.S., they brought in this judiciary panel from all over the world. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. Rami Malek plays the therapist for Gurin, what's his name?
Hermann Göring, the second
in command. And that relationship, just fascinating. Just fascinating.
If you want to see how good Rami Malek is, of course, most people probably know him from the Queen movie.
Sure, yeah.
But my son and I feel like we discovered him because he was in The Pacific, which was the second in the Band of Brothers series.
Yes, yes.
He was in The Pacific and played, and these were all real men.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, this guy's amazing.
Right.
This guy is amazing.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, Minnesota daycare centers. What the heck is going on?
I saw a lady post on Instagram, I have to work late today because I forgot to go to Minnesota and open a daycare center.
No kidding.
Right.
Let's go.
It's unbelievable.
What's going on there, if you haven't heard? Wow.
Unbelievable. Talk about that. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
So this independent journalist, it's a young man. His name is Nick Shirley. And he had another guy with him, and they were going door to door because, and also something else that's kind of odd about this whole fraud scam that's going on in Minnesota with these daycare and learning centers, and it's also healthcare centers. And you go into these buildings, which aren't that great of buildings anyway, and there's four or five of them. All on the same floor. The one of them was this something learning center, but they even misspelled learning. It was the Learings, the ABC Learing Center.
And they're not really daycare centers at all, are they?
And most of them are Somali-owned in Ilhan Omar's district, if you will.
Mm.
And they're getting, Aaron, millions of dollars. Now, Shirley and the other guy with him had printouts from the Minnesota government webpage showing these payouts. And Nick Shirley would go in the door up to one of these learning centers, these daycare centers, and you'd hear behind the door, "What do you want?" "Well, I want daycare for my son, Joey." "Who's Joey?" "Won't open the door." Yelling through the door.
Mm.
"Well, my son, I'm looking into daycare for my son." "Well, when it would go?" I mean,
dismissive.
It's unbelievable. And he said there's no children. And they would interview people outside that were coming in that apparently worked there. And now, of course, when confronted, and the politicians from Minnesota, the the left, oh, they just hate Somalis. It's all racism.
Oh gosh,
that's their argument. They're targeting Somalis. No, they're targeting the fraud.
Fraud.
That
yeah,
happened to be Somalis.
Let's see the children in these daycare centers. Did you see somebody put up, and I was curious about it, I need to go follow up and see if it's accurate, that CNN actually was going to do a little report on this, and they called some of these daycare centers and asked them, are you a fraudulent daycare center? What? Who's going to ask that, and who's going to answer, yeah, I'm fraudulent. Who's right. going to answer CNN? Yeah, I run a fraudulent daycare center.
That's like...
What on earth are you doing?
That's like a salesperson opening a door going, you don't want any shoes today, do you? No. Okay.
Right.
I didn't sell any shoes today.
Yeah.
Well, no kidding.
I wonder why. Well, CNN didn't find any fraudulent daycare centers because they didn't admit it to you? What the heck? My problem...
They told us they weren't frauds.
My problem with this is... You know, Minnesota's under the gun because of this. This ain't going to be the first state.
Oh, no.
Think about it. If it's happening in Minnesota, do you think these companies just said, let's just do it in Minnesota? That's the only place we're going to commit this fraud is Minnesota.
Well, and now Minnesota is under the gun because there's another story that just came out that the Small Business Administration has said, oh, there's almost 8,000 loans that were fraudulent.
OMG.
Yes, 7,900 PPP and EIDL loans that were flagged fraudulent and went through anyway during the Biden administration.
And that for me... For legitimate business owners who could have used the help, who desperately needed the help, and yet we have 8,000 that were fraudulent that we know about. Think of the ones we don't even know about yet. And we let how many businesses closed as a result of the pandemic?
And this is not even the daycare stuff.
Right, exactly.
This is another fraud scheme, frauding you and me, federal tax dollars. From the American taxpaying citizens.
People get wind of these windfalls from the government, and they find every way to exploit the government and get their mitts on that money. And we have little to no checks and balances on it.
Well, we certainly didn't for at least 4 years.
Right, right.
Nobody was watching. Look at what Doge uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think they hated Elon and the Doge team?
Yes, exactly. I would be livid if I was a legitimate business owner and had to fight to the end to get money. And some are still fighting to get money.
Right.
And yet we hear about all this fraud, waste, and abuse. And if you think Minnesota's daycare situation is the only one out there,
no.
Just wait. This is going to be the beginning, the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
We will see so many more investigations
and
now.
Aaron, when you look at the Trump hatred from the inside, this is exactly why.
Yes.
Because all of this gravy train federal money being funneled to these politicians is the light is now shining on it.
The graft is now ending. Sorry.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Pray for our president.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. I got a message. Somebody said, stop fear-mongering. I'm not fear-mongering. Look at what's already happened.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
As things continue to get better and our economy continues to get better, I'm worried.
Mm-hmm.
Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the big stories of the day with Micah McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, so Monday, we're like back on regular schedule then.
Back on a regular schedule, yeah.
Nobody's off. We're not trying to get our vacation days in.
Nope. And we'll shave our head on Monday morning, 7 o'clock hour.
Monday morning, that's right. Grace Ann and her crew is going to be in.
Yeah, I can't wait. I hope the Operation Santa Claus guys can come in too. I'm going to sound mean when I tell you something's coming that I'm all for this.
No, it doesn't sound mean to me. I know what you're going to say.
The SNAP program in Louisiana is changing. It's not a New Year deal. It's a February 18th change that people need to be aware of. They're giving retailers have until the 7th, I think, to have their documents all filed with the state, the Department of Health. But you will no longer be allowed to buy the following items with SNAP money.
Mm-hmm.
Soft drinks, energy drinks, or candy, including gum and mints. You can still buy cakes and cookies and that kind of thing, but no more candy. No more bags of, you know, Skittles or any of that stuff.
Because it's supposed to be a nutrition program.
Yeah, it's the supplemental nutrition.
Is in the name of the program.
Yes, there's nothing nutritious about soft drinks, energy drinks, or candy.
Right.
Now, you can still buy the baking items if you want to buy the chocolate chips to bake your own cookies and you want to eat the chocolate because you want to eat sweets. You can still do that. And you can still buy the stuff with cash. I mean, it's not like you can't buy it. You can go pay your cash and get your Monster drinks or whatever. But
we don't have to pay for it.
It's a small change in Louisiana. Other states are doing even more. I mean, there are no sweets and, you know, all kind of chips and all that is banned. We haven't done the full ban on chips and all that yet. They're working on it. It's coming. You can almost count on it. But if it's got to be nutrition and people are like, oh, you're a mean, evil woman. What's wrong with, a family buying their sodas and letting their kids have a soda? Didn't your kids have sodas? Don't you let your kids have sodas when they were little?
Yeah, they did. And I paid for them. I didn't ask you to pay for my kids' junk food.
Right. And I paid for my kids' health care. If they had dental problems because of the sodas they drank, guess what? We paid for it. So that's where I'm like, well, I want you to use the SNAP benefit program for things that are better for you. And it makes me sound like, oh, you mean woman. But that's the purpose of the program. And our health outcomes in Louisiana sure can do better. We can do better.
Yeah.
We're in bad shape where that's concerned.
I agree. And look, don't this just opens up so many doors. So many doors that I don't know. When I was growing up, we were poor. We didn't know it. My mom was a single mom working two jobs with two kids.
Sure.
We got off the school bus. My mom wasn't home. She was at work.
Right.
And we fixed our own bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
So
I know.
Don't say I'm privileged because I didn't. I didn't grow up privileged. I worked two jobs to this day.
Mm.
So you work for what you get.
What I don't like about this is those of us who support these changes and the lawmakers who put these changes in place, you take all kind of grief from people who go, oh, you're just mean and evil and you're nasty to poor people. These are poor people. Why can't they have their energy drinks if they want their... It's just not healthy. It's not good for them. I don't think anybody should drink energy drinks or soda. I don't drink either of them.
Should I pay for their cigarettes?
Ugh.
Their beer?
Vodka?
Yeah.
What's next?
Right, exactly.
What else should we be paying for? And maybe it does help improve the health outcomes of some people. Isn't that great for all of us? If the health outcomes for some families is better, isn't that good for all of us?
It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Thank you so much for coming in on a Friday.
Yeah, and after Monday, you can call me Q-Ball.
We're looking forward to it. Michael McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, and on the free KEEL app.